Good afternoon, everyone. As Randy introduced my title, I just want to thank him and the rest of my panel today for coming here, and I'm excited and honored to present this work and to hear from everybody today. My name is Kirk Grisham. I have no personal or financial relationships with commercial interests related to this presentation during the past 12 months to disclose. Today, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start by briefly touching on some of the background literature and the salient findings for really thinking about couples and substance use with particular context for men who have sex with men populations. I will then review the methodology of the current study and describe the frameworks that we have utilized for our analysis and today's discussion. I will then present some themes and case studies, which are our results, and conclude with the implications of this work and how, and suggest how we can further this, some of the objectives discussed today. This current study that I'm talking about today is part of a larger project, which is exploring, titled the UNMe study, which is exploring relationships of power and HIV risk in same-sex couples. And this is in order to gain a better understanding of the ways in which partner characteristics such as age, race, and HIV shape power dynamics among couples. While power was not the focus of the current study, the objective and its approach generated a rich qualitative data set that we will use for our analysis today. So substance use has historically focused on individuals, but there's greater attention has been directed to exploring the relationships among substance users and their immediate social context. However, more research is needed to explore substance use and the treatment that's available for LGBT populations generally, and we also acknowledge that there is still a dearth of research regarding same-sex couples and the dynamics through which we can contextualize substance use. Today, we're going to explore these issues with particular attention to couple-level dynamics. While the couple-level context and its analysis is paramount to understanding substance use among men in intimate relationships with other men. I previously noted them as gay men in intimate relationships. However, we're trying to kind of altering that and using a broader definition to be inclusive of everyone. We echo our colleagues in the need to appreciate and locate that analysis within a broader ecological model. This model serves as a framework for our analysis and discussion today. So if we zoom in and we look at the couple level in particular within this model, you can see listed couple communication skills, couple satisfaction, decision-making power, and that can be sexual, financial, and social. And also, we're really interested in the concordance and discordance of partners' characteristics regarding their race, sexuality, and gender, and health status. And what we're really looking for here is the relative divergence and convergence of those characteristics and how they impact the couple and their substance use. This framework appreciates the individual, the meso community, and the macro structural level characteristics, but highlights the couple as the focus within a multi-level framework. These following questions honor this ecological framework while appreciating the couple level. The first being, what are the effects of past and historical substance use among couples, and how does it affect the couple's context? We also ask, what are the relationships between historical use and current use among couples? And finally, how do additional partner attributes, such as socioeconomic status, affect use within a relationship? I want to briefly describe our sample. It consisted of 48 same-sex male couples in New York metropolitan and San Francisco Bay areas. As I mentioned earlier, this study is the larger study set out to explore power dynamics, and we're specifically exploring these dynamics among black, white, and interracial black-white couples. The eligibility depended on the relationship length of at least 6 months, wherein at least one partner reported having anal sex with a male partner in the past 3. Partners were interviewed simultaneously and separately and were asked questions regarding their individual and relationship histories, on their decision-making practices, and sex lives and substance use. The couples level we are getting at here can be considered a particular context, which we can call the couples context. This context includes both individual and couple level dynamics, including the life histories of each partner, such as partner dynamics, past history, past relationship history, including past partner characteristics, and substance use histories. Of course, this context is located within the ecological model, yet it informs us to a specific way to think about individuals and their intimate relationships as a feature of that model and how substance use fits into it. Demonstrating this pervasiveness in the lives of same-sex male couples who took part in the study, couples reported substance use across race, HIV status, and socioeconomic background. While we set out to explore substance use more generally as an element of sexual risk behavior and the decision-making around sex, it was brought up throughout all sections of the interview. The near ubiquity of alcohol use initially struck us, as well as the degree and variability in which substance use was discussed. As you can see here from this table, alcohol consumption and stimulant use to a lesser extent were prevalent across couple type. Not illustrated here, but a chief goal of this qualitative study set out to understand not only the prevalence, but the frequency and range of behaviors associated with use that we will explore in upcoming case studies. Here are some of the more salient themes that we will highlight today with some cases. However, these three bullets speak to an almost universal aspect of substance use as a dynamic that is part of the relationship itself. Substance use is more often reported as a historical or current feature of family and social networks, as part of their past relationships, including past partner characteristics, and often expressed as a often use was expressed as a direct result of or a reason for financial strain and poverty, and in some cases, even homelessness. It was often discussed as a feature of their physical and geographic environment, which we will touch on today. Individual and partner use was varied, however, that variance had direct impacts of the level of use within the relationship. So now we're thinking about couple level use as well as individual use. It was also discussed in respect to relationship dynamics, specifically conflict and relationship satisfaction. This ranged from everyday contentions to a more substantial theme in the relationship. Partners discussed conflict and substance use's relative effects in areas such as decision-making and sexual behavior, and was also featured in more severe relationship discords such as broken sexual agreements and partner violence. And this was evidenced as within the couple context and also extra-dyadic violence. It even arose as a dynamic that facilitated the initiation of their relationship. The first case we have is of Eric and Chris, which demonstrates that social and physical structures are inextricable from substance use in relationships. However, in this case, they are not overtly deterministic in predicting use and poor relationship outcomes. Eric describes himself as having a savior complex. His previous boyfriend was a drug addict and who constantly was getting kicked out of his home. He describes feeling the need to save him. He initially characterizes his partner, Chris, as different, noting that he has a stable job and family situation. However, as he got to know Chris more, he learned that he had been diagnosed with anxiety and attention deficit disorder, which was prescribed by his doctor, Adderall. Adderall is a common ADD medication containing amphetamine. This Chris would use intravenously and inject with friends who were also injection drug users. This was discussed in the relationship as a problem identified by Eric. Eric told Chris that in order for them to be together, Chris would have to quit. Eric further contextualizes his concerns about Chris's use by telling us he grew up in a household with a mother who was addicted to crack cocaine. Similarly, Chris grew up in a household with a distant father who was also a drug addict. Chris agreed to quit, but after 3 or 4 months, Eric found out that he was still using. Instead of breaking up, they used it as an opportunity to reestablish trust, and they both report Chris no longer injecting Adderall. In our second case, we have Jonathan and Tony. Jonathan was kicked out of his home at age 16. He met his partner Tony in a shelter when they were both using crack cocaine. While they have known each other and dated for over 20 years, they have broken up and Tony has spent time in prison. During that time, Jonathan would exchange sex for money, through which he reports becoming HIV positive. Both partners acknowledge that the substance use and some similarities of their experiences are what initially brought them together, yet now Jonathan finds himself wanting out of the relationship. He reports Tony being verbally abusive and has a history of inflicting both physical and sexual violence on him. However, Jonathan is financially dependent on Tony and can't seem to end the relationship. While he was able to stay sober for nearly 14 years despite this tumultuous relationship with Tony, their history of drug use appears to be one of the only things that kept them together. The last case that we share features Andrew and Philip, who reported alcohol use as the dominant theme of their relationship. On the first night they met each other, they were having drinks with mutual friends. One thing led to another, and they were having group sex at a friend's apartment. Andrew and Philip have dated for 2 years with one breakup that lasted for several months. The severity of conflict in their relationship as it relates to alcohol differs by partner. They both described alcohol use in the majority of their social and physical environments, and particularly emphasized its normalized use, with them being both young, gay, and living in a great neighborhood with lots of bars. However, Andrew further associates some of the more significant instances of conflict in the relationship due to Philip's consumption of alcohol. Andrew recalls multiple occasions where Philip has either been verbally or physically abusive, and alcohol is generally involved. As we saw highlighted in each of the respective cases, the history of substance use among partners can impact use in the couple as well as impact relationship satisfaction and outcomes. That use and the respective couple's response to it varies by relationship and context. However, it seems that the ability of the couple to contend with such use is impacted by the similarities and or differences of each partner. This is what we identified as kind of the convergence and divergence of discordancy and concordancy among partner characteristics in the ecological model. And finally, that substance use operates as a feature in the relationship that affects both individuals and is shaped by the historical and current socioeconomic status of each partner, which cannot be disentangled from substance use and relationship outcomes. With that said, is it important for us to note that the study was limited in the following ways. The sample size was small, and data were collected from only 48 couples in both New York and San Francisco. While there is significant prevalence, we can surely assume that we are only able to get a mere glimpse of the ways in which substance use is a feature of same-sex relationships. Additionally, we had no seroconcordant positive couples and only interviewed white and black men. Substance use was generally moderate, even though alcohol was featured in almost all relationships. Finally, we acknowledge that this data was solely qualitative and relied on self-reported behavior. We must consider bias as well as the lack of quantitative methods. There were no validated measures which could give us a more accurate description of history, type, and level of use within these relationships. Dyadic context, nonetheless, there are advantages to using dyadic context as a way to frame and understand substance use among men in intimate relationships with other men. The dyad operates embedded with a structural framework wherein we use socioeconomic context, wherein use and socioeconomic context are reciprocal, and interventions must be able to appreciate the multiple levels impacting the couple's substance use. Most importantly, we need further exploration into the ways in which these multiple levels operate, and specifically the relative contributions and impact they have on use among couples, appreciating the ecological model and the couple's context within it as non-static environments. I want to thank you today for your time. I look forward to hearing the rest of the panel and to your questions and comments at the end. This research was supported by the National Institute of Mental Health. I also want to thank the investigators and team members for making this research project possible and this particular study as well. And I'd also like to thank my colleagues for their engagement on this work and analysis. Thank you.